How's the sound? How's the sound? How is it over there? Not so strong. Okay, is that better? Is that still okay? Okay? And now about the other side, is it too loud? It's a little too loud? How about that? So just to start with, as we're arriving into this hour together in the hall, a few moments again to feel how the body would like to be on the floor. And noticing your level of tiredness or refreshed feeling. And if you're feeling plenty of tiredness, and especially if you know that you snore like I do, then please turn onto your side or facing down, face towards the floor, partway or all the way. Which also can be a good posture, even if you don't snore. For some people, it's deeper. Noticing the hands and feet. And how you place a hand or foot. How that ripples through the whole body and possibly mind, feeling for ourselves. Feeling when the posture has some should in it, like you feel you should lie or sit a certain way, how that affects the body and mind. What habit that reinforces, whether it feels helpful in connection to source or aliveness or what is. Maybe allowing a few breaths to be a little bit long. An out breath as if kind of washing down the front of the body. And slowly turning around for an in breath, washing up, filling up the back of the body. If you like. And maybe asking inwardly, how is it going today? Not as a measurement of progress, but just how does it feel to be in this body, in this mind, in this place, in this moment? What's noticeable? Not looking for problems, but just noticing what's noticeable. What comes first to your attention? Like maybe there's a lot of thinking. Or maybe some state of body, like lots of energy or low energy, lots of tension or lots of release, softness, heaviness, delight. Or is there something more in the realm of the heart? Emotion, feeling, mood, attitude. Not looking for it to be right or wrong, whatever is going on. Just being allowed to feel, how does it feel? For a few moments. If there's busy thinking or a sense of anger, burning, or sadness, filling or weighing down. Excitement, jumping around inside. And just like the sunshine comes traveling all this way, freely given. When it bounces off of a leaf or the ground into our eye, does it become my sunshine? The wind, the air that keeps mixing around the world in and out of bodies. When does it become my breath, my air, my temperature? In the same way. So there's anger or sadness that feels hot or heavy. So there's busy thinking that feels like a bus crowded with people. Does it really belong to you? Did you invent it? did you knit it together? Or did it come with life? And so maybe feeling the back of the body or the ground, or giving some more room to your breath. Sometimes it can feel good to let as if the breath comes down into the legs. And if you want, just feeling for a few moments the qualities or sensations in the body that go along with that thinking or feeling state. How feeling isolated or ashamed or insecure or in a hurry or against or up or down feels in the body. And what if it's not your job to do anything about it? What if it doesn't have a meaning about your value as a person? It's just the weather that's happening. It's stormy, or it's calm, or maybe it's more like an earthquake or a volcano. But maybe it's not your fault. Even though you can feel it, and even though it might be intense sometimes. Also, there's a lower body that can be felt. Somewhere that feels good in the body. And sometimes we could almost get a sense of a shape of sadness or hurry or worry or planning or judging. Can almost feel the physical sensations of the programming, the reactivity. That makes it feel so real that I feel burned or invaded or made small. And as if we could lay that shape down on a sea of softness, quietness, okayness. Giving it back to life. For life to take care of that. We can keep laying it down. Knowing we're not alone and we're not the first or last ones to ever have that sense of irritation or better or worse than. Or can't stop thinking about when. Feeling in the body, laying it down, maybe as if on a sea of softness that has enough room. And then coming back to your back, or your lower belly, or where feels good. And maybe a long out breath down into your legs. As if the breath is this quiet waterfall down the front of the body. And either staying in touch with some place in the body that feels possible to connect with, or okay, or good to be in, or just letting the whole body kind of spread out on the floor. And sink into the ground. A body and a life in a world, in a morning. Getting a sense of that lifetime, your life. What do you wish for you? For that life that you did not make with your hands. That person, yourself. Sometimes it can be interesting to imagine that you could be at the top of the room looking down at yourself, or really inside your heart, feeling yourself, the kind of song of your life. Knowing that what a life is still so far beyond human understanding. And yet we're in the midst of it. In the tradition passed down from Gautama Buddha, sometimes just for fun, and sometimes when there was a need to change the channel from some kind of fear or other negativity. There was a practice of changing the channel to friendliness, to friendship with life. And sometimes that wonderfully comes easily to some people, to be in touch with yourself and what would be the fulfillment of your life, what would be needed, what you would wish for that person that's you. And for many people, it's so hard. And so if we could have the feeling that we're just beginning a garden, with the feeling of newness, getting ready to grow something, getting ready to grow some things that already know how to grow and just need some conditions for that growth. So is there a way today? Is it possible to feel what you want in everything that you do, when you're angry, when you're down, what you want, when you're enthusiastic, open, what do you want for your life? Not something that would just satisfy you for a moment as a kind of escape from life, but what would be a fulfillment of your life? It's not an easy question. And we don't need necessarily words in answer, but a feeling in the body of being maybe willing, with patience and forgiveness, for the distracted mind and heart, willingness to come into that love of our life, and willingness to serve life. What do you want? What does life want in you, through you? And if it's hard, you could imagine yourself as a child and what you would want for that child of you. Or someone that you know or could imagine who loves and respects you, meeting you wholly. Hearing you, feeling you, wishing you happiness, stillness, creativity, joy, ground, safety, awakening to what is now. And accepting that this kind of honoring of our own life is so different from our education, that it can be kind of like a soft lightning bolt, a strike of lightning. To accept that now, not when I'm about to die, I could allow that love of life to flow through my veins somehow. Or if not, a wish to feel that love of life, the yes to being here. If it's easy for you, then go into your flow with your own words or images, but preferably also feeling in the body the sensations. Of maybe peace and freedom, whatever it is for you, whatever flavor of what's true for you. Could be more traditionally, may I be at peace, a whole sentence. Just a word, ease. Ease means something like released, relaxed, with some sense of wholeness and maybe even a bit of confidence, not freaked out. At rest. So also just for fun, or also to change the channels from fear and negativity to something that fits the human life way better. And sometimes people will say, isn't that avoidance of the difficult? As a way of avoiding connecting to what we're not used to practicing connection with, feeling at home, at ease, love, fulfillment. So what we're practicing is not to close down and be against negativity and fear. But with every other kind of addiction, we wouldn't say to a heroin addict, you should not avoid heroin. So let's not say to ourselves, you should not avoid the negativity that takes over. Rather, let's practice what we have not practiced yet. Shifting into another part of our experience that's closer and resonates more with a big space that has the capacity for everything. And when the time is ripe, everything will come. For healing, for flowering, for release, and for waking up. So resting into your own qualities? What is it that's important to you? How does it feel in your body? What are some ways of reminder? A word or sentence, may I be at ease, for example. An image, a memory. Feeling it in the body. If possible. If you find a lot of resistance, don't worry, that happens sometimes. And maybe we can ask with that resistance, what do you want? Not only what are you feeling against, but in that againstness, what do you want? Turning it around. Sometimes people might feel, I don't like that new age kind of thing. So what is it that you're looking for? What do you want? What feels more true to you? What is your way? And gradually, whether today or with more practice over more days, you may find that you love peace. Or openness. Fluidity, like water. Honesty, whatever you may find, giving that to yourself in your mind. What it feels like when you're in touch with honesty or peace. And sometimes, when it's like in the garden, the right season, the right conditions, it may be possible to really kind of as if roll around in that texture or sensation of peace and loving peace. As if you would bathe in it. And it would not only be on your skin, but like a tea bag, tea leaves in water. The water comes inside as well as all around. Loving ease. Loving no demand. Stillness. Expansiveness. What you would wish for yourself as a child, perhaps. And sometimes with practice, it would organically happen that you might start to feel that you're filled. The ground is soaked with rain. The air is filled with the fragrance. And it can be lovely to fill and fill as long as it needs to be practiced. For that naturally filling, that it can almost feel that the skin opens and that fragrance passes through and starts to fill the room. But we could also play with in our imagination according to the tradition. Imagining and feeling. The connection with peace and the love of peace inside starts to allow a kind of fragrance or texture of peace to travel through you and start to fill the space around you. May there be peace in the hall. A simple wish. Sensations in the body, if possible, of how peace feels to you. It might be creamy or liquid or like a small wind, a breeze, silk, ground, roots. Good company. May there be ease in the hall. Filling and overflowing. Sometimes it may feel abstract, and remembering a moment that you might have felt some peace or whatever quality, how it felt in the body, letting that come into the bloodstream, letting that come into your atmosphere inside. Offered but not forced, with each and every cell. And then we can let it freely radiate. Expanding even further, if you like, into the ground and beyond this room. just to radiate as far as you like, in the way that you can or like to. Sometimes it's easier to imagine or feel a specific person or place, creature, or landscape, tree, puppy. And expanding in that way, one by one. That person, that tree. Or sometimes just a general sense of the whole countryside with its creatures. The expanse of life. And all the living creatures also wishing for safety and peace and freedom. And despite the many ways we do the opposite of what we want. What if we imagine and feel? Not that we need to deserve or earn a place in life. And the happiness and belonging that go along with that place in life. But here we are already. May there be peace. Including yourself, if possible. And perhaps in the last minute or two, including the whole of the earth and its waters and deserts. Ice and forests, rivers and cities, fields and wastelands, even a plant moves towards safety. And just resting in that nature in ourselves that allows a love of feeling life and loving safety and freedom. May there be peace. would you like to ask or share something?
First of all, I'd like to share that before I came to this session, I went to my room for a moment to bring something. I felt very present and, you know, zen-like, and I was trying to be very quiet so nobody wakes up. And then I realized that it's not even my room. So I really left it myself. And for me, this is the, I think, important thing here, to left it myself.
Cool. Could you hear? No. Just before this session, he went to his room to get something before the meditation, and kind of feeling very zen and trying to be really silent, not to disturb anyone. And then he realized he wasn't in his own room, he was in someone else's room. And then he laughed at himself. And he's saying, that feels like the most important thing, do you see? To laugh at oneself in that way.
And also, I have a question. So earlier you said, as an example, if the mind is like a crowded bus, a busy mind, remember, it's not really yours. It's life gave you this. So I find it sometimes hard because, you know, this automatic voice of why aren't you more quiet and so, but I find it even much more harder in the case of when I'm in the more present state of mind to give this to life. Mm-hmm. Because I used to think that I came to this retreat and I worked for it. I did a few things that really helped. So I look for the balance, and for me it's harder to give this to life.
Yeah. So in the meditation, I was questioning what is ours, what belongs to us. And so to notice that, like, thoughts are not something that we fabricate with our hands and then have, but it's something that comes along with life. And he's saying that he finds it even more challenging when the state of mind is, for example, calm, to give that to life. So not only to give a difficult state of mind back to life, like, oh, this is not mine, this is life's, but when it's a state of mind we're really happy to be in, to give that to life. Do you hear when I'm saying it back to you something?
What do you mean?
Does anything come to mind when you hear me say your question back?
What comes to mind is that it's obvious that this is a part of life as well, and I'm part of something much bigger, but for the ego, it's harder to let go in this case.
Yeah. And then the ego is whose?
Life.
Life in time. So it's kind of the acknowledgement that it already is life's. And especially when it's, he said, when I've worked for it, I did some things that helped, and then there's a calm mind state. So I want it to be mine, kind of. The metaphor of gardening, I think, is helpful. Because there's a lot of work involved in gardening, but none of the work that we can do is the growing of the tomato. We can't. Kind of make it tastier by directly, but we can make it tastier with a lot of different ways, if we're lucky. So sometimes we work really hard and there's not a calm mind state, and we can take that as something wrong. And it might be just the right thing that needs to happen, or it might just be that's what's possible this year. And more when we're in this planetary crisis, to be able to take when things are not working out the way we expected, the way they did last year, not to take it personally can be so important, so that we stay in the garden and not like, oh, I don't get enough food for my spiritual ego, so I quit. Okay. Thank you.
I have been thinking about this notion you said about everything, maybe everything's wrong. And I've been noticing that I'm feeling the same notion in two very different ways, also here in meditation, and also in life a lot of times. That one way is feeling this sad without the joy.
And I can't quite hear you. One way is feeling this thought with a lot of joy, did you say?
A lot of joy.
Okay.
And like feeling that there is something that is great.
That is great?
Yeah, it's one thing. And the other is sometimes thinking the same thing, but feeling that there is like nothing wrong because there is nothing. Mm. And it's a very lifeless feeling, and sometimes very much like sedating myself from something. And I'm not sure why it happens so differently. Sometimes it feels very arbitrary, like just different hormones in the same thought.
Mm.
And I was wondering if there's also a way of moving from one to the other, of bringing life.
So she's saying with the thought, maybe nothing's wrong, she has two very different experiences of it. One would be feeling that there's joy and this is great, that it's great, there's it's something great, is that what you said?
There is something, one thing that's great, so nothing is wrong.
Okay. There is something great, that's why there's nothing wrong. And the other way she experiences the phrase, maybe nothing's wrong, is more lifeless and more like there is nothing or nothing matters kind of thing, yeah? And is there a way of, I might be now starting to answer the question by repeating the question, if that's okay. Kind of, is there a way of practicing a shift from one to the other? And the way you're asking is there a way of putting life into the words? And I would say if the emphasis could be the other way around, like let the words help me find the life in the experience, that you can really clearly feel the difference between the sedating, you said, I think. The sedating, like so drugging to sleep. Lifeless, deadening, and something that feels, I think you talked about feeling maybe relieved, sort of feeling, enjoying. That it's more important to practice on the feeling level than to keep using the same words and make the words have life. Do you know what I mean? So you can already feel the difference between dead and alive, let's put it that way. And so, it's not likely that the phrase, maybe nothing's wrong, is going to keep being helpful for very long. But having the experience of knowing in a feeling way the difference between dead and alive, or deadening and enlivening, is something that you can keep applying and keep discovering in every situation, I think. And in a way is what practice is. That is practice. So in the feeling way, when it's more deadening, feeling how it is, and also changing the channel more often than not to feel something else. So here's the deadening, feels like this. And then either I feel something direct that might be neutral, like I can feel my butt on the ground, or I open to sounds, or I open my eyes and let the eyes land somewhere, or a memory of when I felt connected, or a pleasant place in the body. So it could be more direct and it might be neutral, or it might be direct and more opening the mind towards the joy and gratitude side, or it might be less direct, like a memory, but also still helping the mind come back to its more natural shape. And then the 80% of the practice is that when I feel something of aliveness, something of it's okay, the way you put it is there's something great, so maybe nothing's wrong in a way that destroys everything or could kick me out, or sometimes it's only the tiniest little thread that we can feel of I want to live, and sometimes we feel it all in all the cells, and whatever there is, tuning into that is a main practice. And what I find is more like, rather than leading from the words and the thought, maybe nothing's wrong, leading from, so I mean, if you're letting yourself get familiar with how deadening feels and how enlivening feels in your body, and then what that means is also how that feels in your body-mind, and then you'll find yourself inventing your ways of shifting. If we could keep in mind that that shift is a natural shift, but that doesn't mean it's easy. And it's a simple shift, but that doesn't mean it's easy. And so we call it practice because we're not good at it. It's not, we expect, because it's simple and natural, it sounds like then it's supposed to be, I should already be able to do it. But what we actually notice is we can't. We can really can't. Many times we can't. So acceptance that we're learning. And then we're more receptive to what helps learning. We're more receptive to what the garden needs so it can grow. So like gardening is simple and natural, but it's not easy. Like that. Something you want to clarify more? Okay. Okay, thank you so much.